Next presenter is James McCray from the University of Florida.
Okay, I'm going to be talking about sugarcane yield response to potassium on Florida histosoils. These are, of course, organic soils. They typically have organic matter contents of about 80% or so. And there's about 400,000 acres of sugarcane that's grown south on the south and eastern sides of Lake Okeechobee in the Everglades Agricultural Area. My co-authors, Xiangmin Ji, who's my biological scientist, and Gerald Powell is a researcher at Florida Crystals, now retired. A little background on the situation. Potassium is a primary plant nutrient, and it's used in large amounts by sugarcane. Just as an estimate of the amount that's used by sugarcane, the removal in a couple of studies have been estimated to range from 167 kilograms K per hectare to 333 kilograms K per hectare for a 100-ton cane crop on organic soil. I think the wide range there is partially because of you can get luxury consumption at higher availability of potassium in the soil, and so I think that's reflected in the wide range of removal at harvest. Potassium for sugarcane on Florida histosoils is typically applied once for each crop, either in the furrow at planting or on the surface as a side dress for the ratoon crops. The current recommendations were developed in 1979 by Gary Gasho and Gerald Kidder, and so these were based on experiments that were done roughly 40 years ago or so. And so this has been some time since these recommendations were established. The recommendations currently range up to 232 kilograms K per hectare or 250 pounds K2O per acre each year. And one of the things that is under consideration with this is that the soils in the EAA, the Everglades Agricultural Area, are shallower today than they were when these recommendations were established. They have much higher pH than those because of their shallower to the underlying limestone. And so the soils have changed substantially in that time. And also the fact that there's such a large investment in terms of fertilizer usage by growers of the potassium that we thought it was worthwhile to reevaluate the recommendations. So our objective is to determine sugarcane yield response to potassium fertilization in relation to extractable soil potassium on Florida histosoils. So we had six sites of small plot trials in commercial sugarcane fields. So we were working cooperatively with growers in each of these locations, and one of them was at the research center, and the others were at grower locations. They were all randomized complete block designs. Fertilizer was applied by hand in the furrow, either at planting or as a side dress for the ratoon crops, and we used muriate of potash as the K source. They were all, the K rates ranged from 0 to 279 kilograms K per hectare, or that's 0 to 300 pounds K2O per acre, in 50 pound per acre increments. There was no 50 pound rate or 46 kilogram K per hectare rate at site 6 was the only difference. These were planted in the period from 2009 to 2011. The soil series were either Dania, Lauderhill, or Pahokee, and the only difference in these series is the soil depth, with Dania being the shallowest. Dania soils are less than 20 inches to the limestone bedrock. The Pahokee is the deepest, and it's 36 to 51 inches deep to the limestone bedrock. So this is just a map showing the locations. And so Lake Okeechobee is the big lake in the center of South Florida. And so the EAA basically is on the south and eastern sides of Lake Okeechobee. And we had these six locations that were pretty scattered around within the EAA, I think representing that area reasonably well. And so just looking quickly at the overall analysis, the variance at site, crop, and K-rate and their interactions. The red indicates the significance of the F-test of each of these. For tons cane per hectare, tons sucrose per hectare, and KST is kilogram sucrose per ton of cane, which is a measure of sucrose concentration in the sugarcane. All of those harvest parameters we had significance for site, crop, and K-rate, and the site times crop interaction was significant for all of them, and also site times K-rate was significant for tons cane and tons sucrose per hectare. The three-way interaction was significant for tons cane per hectare. Significant differences in sucrose yield, because sucrose per hectare is the primary thing that the grower is going to get paid for. I'll concentrate on that. The largest response we found was at site 6, which had the lowest soil test potassium, which made sense in terms of that. There was the only one that we had a significant F test for tons sucrose per hectare, but there were some other contrasts that indicated that there might be some significance. There was one crop here we had a zero, is comparing the zero rate versus the other K rates. We had a significant contrast in 1 year out of two at site 2, and at 2 years out of three at site 4. We also had a significant contrast in terms of the quadratic effect at site 4. So there were some indications that we were getting some response to potassium at the other sites. And also, if we look at tons sucrose per hectare related to leaf K concentration, I think there's some indication that we had insufficiency at some of the sites in some situations. And the optimum range here ranges from 10 grams K per kilogram in the leaves to 16. And at site 1, we had some values below the optimum range. Also at site 2 and at site 4. We didn't have leaf data for site 6. So I'm sure there would have been a lot more at site 6 that were below the optimum. So some indication from the leaf concentrations that we had other locations that we did get a significant F test that included insufficient potassium in some cases, indicating a need for potassium fertilizer. The basic thing I'm trying to do with this graph is determine at what point, what soil tests do we not need to apply potassium fertilizer. The current level that we're not applying that's not recommended to apply potassium fertilizer for is above this 110 grams K per meter cubed in the acetic acid soil test. So above this, we would not recommend potassium in the current recommendations. The soil test is on the x-axis, and the soil test ranges from 20 at site 6 up to about 140 at site 5. And the y-axis here is relative sucrose per hectare for the 0K plots. This is specifically for the plots without any applied potassium, and then the y is the pre-crop acetic K for those same treatments. So this relative yield then indicates that we got a stronger response the lower on the y-axis the points will be. So we could use the basic Cape-Nelson graphical technique, which is the blue vertical and horizontal axis lines here, and basically that's where we are maximizing the points in the upper right quadrant and the lower left quadrant. But there's quite a range there that on the x-axis that you could put that. So probably not the best way to determine where that limit should be. We had a inverse linear model in which if you choose the 95% of the maximum model, you get about an 80 for the soil test, and if you choose a 98%, you get about a 102. So it's kind of arbitrary where you choose that point. I think the best model, even though it's a little lower R square, is probably the linear plateau, where we have a specific point at 97 grams K per meter cubed for the soil test. And that's about 12% lower than our current the current limit for plant cane for applying potassium. So it, to me, it suggests that you're relatively close to the current recommendations, and there's probably not a major need to change that specific part of the recommendation. So then taking that and looking at, okay, if you use that recommendation, how does that look in terms of leaf K values? So again, on the x-axis, the 0K pre-crop acetic acid soil K values. On the y-axis, the 0K leaf K concentrations with 95% confidence limits. So there, if you look at the 110 for the soil test value, which is the current limit for applying fertilizer, and you look up to the point on the lower confidence limit, that would get you at 11, which would be well within the optimum range. So the current recommendation would be comfortable that would keep you within the optimum range for leaf potassium. So another thing that we need to determine then is at low soil test levels, what amount of fertilizer do we need to apply? So what was the maximum response that we got in terms of the fertilizer that's required? And the maximum response we got was at site 6 with a low soil test value of about 20. So there, using a 95% of the quadratic relationship here of this response, this would be at about 130 kilograms K per hectare for plant cane, and using the same approach for first ratoon was about 170, would reach 95% of the maximum of the quadratic model. So this 170 would relate to about 183 pounds K2O per acre, and that is about 27% than the current recommendation. So to me, that suggests a possible savings for growers, and at least in that part of the recommendation. The maximum recommended rate is the 250 pounds K2O per acre, which would be 232 kilograms K per hectare. So we still might need to use that at extremely low soil test values, but there does seem to be an opportunity for savings for growers. So when these recommendations are made, basically the way the recommendations are set up is that an initial soil test before the sugarcane is planted is used to make not only the plant cane recommendations, but recommendations for the ratoon crops as well. The reason for that is that part of the BMP is one of the best management practices to ban fertilizer. That's mainly targeting phosphorus, but most of the growers are banning all the fertilizer. So once you apply this in the band, it's not incorporated across the whole soil profile anymore, so it's difficult to go out and get a representative sample for the ratoon crops. So the table is set up to make recommendations for the whole 3 or 4 year period that would be in sugarcane, that sugarcane crop. So what we're trying to do is determine how much do the soil test values decrease over time, so we can incorporate that into the table. And between about an initial pre-crop value of 40 to 60 soil tests, the decreased about 20 grams K per meter cubed per year. If they started between about 120 and 140, the decrease was a little bit more, about 30 to 40. So the amount of decrease over time was increasing with the initial soil test value, which would be expected. We can use that to incorporate into the recommendations. So the conclusions, all the F tests only indicated a yield response at one test. There was evidence that there was a need for fertilizer, potassium fertilizer at other sites. We reached a sucrose yield plateau at 97 kilograms K per meter cubed soil test. That's 12% less than the current recommendation, but suggests to me that the current current limit for applying fertilizer shouldn't be changed. The maximum K requirement determined was 170 kilograms K per hectare with a soil test value of 20, which indicates that that was a 27% less than the current recommendation, indicating a possible savings for growers. And that maximum of 232 might still be needed, but it would be extremely low soil test values. And these decreases in soil test values over time can be used to compare to the current recommendations. So basically, I think this forms a framework that we can use to revise the recommendations and in some cases provide some savings for growers in terms of potassium fertilizer. Just to acknowledge the sugarcane growers that cooperated with us in the study and funding from the Florida Sugarcane League and Wedgeworth Fertilizer. Thanks. Any questions? Yes, sir.
I live in Florida myself. Between that 183-pound rate and your 250-pound rate, at any time did you see a decrease in yield because of the total chloride, total salt concentration?
I don't know about in terms of total salt. The thing that we did see is that we didn't see an increase in sucrose concentration with potassium rate, but in 4 of the 14 years we saw a decrease in the sucrose concentration at higher rates compared to the lower rates. So you can see a decrease in sucrose. So there are cases where you can see an increase in tons cane and biomass, but not a same increase in tons sucrose per hectare. So you can see a loss in sucrose concentrations if you apply too much potassium.
And then just beyond that, economic threshold to the grower.
Right, and there's I think there's some opportunity there at the higher rates that they could save some money.
Okay, well, I did go into the next speaker. Thank you very much.
Thanks.